Welcome to the Isekai Pod. My name is Matt, and I am Isekai Trash. I love it so much, I watch everyone I can, and very, very rarely do I not completely love them. So come along, let me share my overflowing love for the fantastic, the wonderful, the truly impossible Isekai genre. Log Horizon Season 2. Still Studio Madman Entertainment and Sentai Filmworks here in the States licensed. 25 episodes from October 4th, 2014 to March 28th, 2015. So basically, we took a calendar season off between first season and second season, which is wild because it's a 25 episodes first season, 25 episodes second season. So maybe they could have just ran straight through, but you know, they were like, cool, we'll give you a breather. And we're coming right back. It's important to note, they kept the first opening theme, which was a great idea, because the opening theme, I mentioned it before, was so hype. It's the Ultra Hype Database. I think they changed the animation, which that's fine. But like the theme itself was so hype. You know, when they took a break, I was like, oh man, they're going to make a season two. Are they going to change the opening theme? Because it's kind of perfect. And they kept it. And we were all so happy. So happy. Go watch the show. It's great. Anyway. So anyway, season two, same basic characters. We got some more characters, but, you know, it's a ton of characters in this show. I mean, it's a ton of players and people of the land. There's a lot going on, and I will do my best to kind of introduce them as we meet them. So season two finds us in Akihabara. Financially, the city is in trouble. They need a ton of money to keep operating. Shiroe goes with Naotsugu and Rigen and meets with the Kunie clan, whatever, who basically control all the money in the world or something. Like, this clan is an ancient people of the land clan. They're in charge of all the money, basically. He tries to get them to loan him some money, capital, to, you know, big deal. Like, we're going to do a thing and blah, blah, blah. And Kinjiro? I wrote his name down somewhere in here. But he's the member of the Kuni clan. He's the leader. And he's like, I can't just give you money. You know, how about there's a place where all the gold is, where its source is, where it is made and comes from, just magically. But it's a dungeon raid. You need a big old 24-person party to tackle it. Bippity-boppity. He's like, go get you some. So anyway, Shiroe is like, all right, cool. So he goes and recruits a bunch of members. He can't take the round table into this. You know, he needs to kind of handle this. So he recruits a bunch of dudes and dudettes to take on this huge raid for the source of gold in the world. I mean, it's a huge raid. There's 24 people, so it's not like a super massive raid. I think like 96. Anyway, you know, raid parties are a thing, and I don't really understand it. I don't play those games, but I do love this anime. Don't get me wrong. So anyway, when you're in a raid and you die, you revive at the entrance to the raid zone, so that's super convenient. You don't go all the way back to the cathedral and have to travel way the freak back out here. Anyway, so for this raid, you meet Tetra, who is this like dude masquerading as a female idol. It's a lot of fun. You'll discover that I'm a big fan of that trope. I'm not mentioning Demigas because it's not really worth it. If you watch the show, you might question my judgment. He's a character, and you know, he does some stuff. I don't know. He's more annoying than anything. Anyway, they spend 3 weeks in the dungeon, still aren't done. I mean, they are in there. It is a task. But meanwhile, back in Akihabara, a villain is going around murdering adventurers in the city, which is not supposed to be possible because the city's a safe zone where any aggression would immediately be met by the royal guards just teleporting in, and they stop the nonsense immediately. They have armor that makes them, you know, super powerful, more powerful than the adventurers, and they can, they're people of the land, basically. They're NPCs that show up to stop the nonsense and safe zones, and the city is supposed to be a safe zone. So anyway, the guilds decide to investigate this. They're like, that ain't cool. This stuff's not supposed to be happening. What's going on? The leader of the Kuni clan, Kinjiro, this dude again, he meets with Lanesia, who's that the ambassador, the princess girl, the noble daughter one that we talked about in season one. She's now an ambassador to Akihabara. She kind of lives there. He meets with her because she's another person of the land, and he tells her, you know what? That murderer is a rogue Kuni clan member who has stolen Royal Guard armor, which makes him more powerful than adventurers. He's like, we messed up. This dude is one of ours, but we can't stop him, so we need some help. Akatsuki overhears this, and she's like, okay. So she goes to fight the murderer and falls. She dies. Now, and while at the same time, Shiroi is killed in the dungeon. And they meet up on the moon where fragments of memories are sprinkling all around. They revive in their own places. So it's real sweet. They like walk on a beach in the moon. It's a whole thing. Elsewhere, Krusty, who's an important guild leader in Akihabara, he leads one of the battle guilds, I think, DDD. And he's super fun. He's kind of like into battling, and he also is part of the round table. But anyway, he saves. He has a lot of like important roles to play in season one. He's at the council. He's at the ice palace thing, and he knows what he's doing. He's very capable. But anyway, at this point, he's out doing this. What's he doing? Oh, they're still trying to clean up the goblin invasion thing. Like, they've got it mostly under control, but they're still, cleaning up the army and trying to make their way to the Goblin King and do their thing. But they're out, and he saves a guild member when her sword starts acting strangely. And she's reading, like, the flavor text, and it's like, well, this is weird. And then, like, some crazy stuff happens, and he's like, boom, knocks her out of the way and takes the sword. And he ends up vaporized, and he doesn't revive at the cathedral. Dun dun dun! I know, big deal. Like, everybody's like, "Whoa, what? Did he just die? Like, can you die? Like, we didn't die before. We revived at the cathedral, and people are still reviving at the cathedral." So everybody's like, "What? What happened with Krusty? What's going on?" So this is crazy. So the flavor text of weapons is real now. Is what is partially discovered here. Anyway, the Akihabara crew devise a complicated plan to defeat Murder Dude. Part of the plan is to deactivate the magic circle that protects the city from monsters and such. And it will take a very, very long time to reactivate it. So, like, I feel like he said it would take a year to reactivate it or something crazy. Like, a month. I don't know. It's a crazy amount of time to reactivate. So, once it's down, the city is vulnerable. Like, before, the city's a safe zone. Monsters don't enter. They can't get in. So, you're safe. You can go to sleep. It's all good. They're going to deactivate this circle because it's also what gives the Royal Guard's armor its power and allows them to teleport all over the dang place. So anyway, they got to do it. At this point, they're able to defeat the murder dude. So anyway, flashback to Shiroi and his huge battle in the dungeon. They're at like the final boss stage, kind of. And it's a huge battle. It's real cerebral. Shiroi's barking out orders. He's calculating times and stuff, aggro cooldowns, this and that, the order in which the boss monsters do their attacks. But anyway, Demigas ends up grabbing Shiro and running off with him and throws him to the final boss and then runs off, baiting some other monsters away from him. But anyway, Shiro is in there with the final boss, and he sees Kinjo, who's the leader of the Kuni clan, with the final boss, and Kinjo starts explaining things to Shiroi about how gold is distributed to monsters and how things work like that. But anyway, Shiroi convinces Kinjo to go along with his very convoluted plan about land and the server and balance. He wants to, like, use the gold to buy all the land and then give it to the server so that it can't be bought. I don't know, it's real complicated, real super smart stuff. They do the thing. Tetra becomes a member of Log Horizon. It's real cute. Wonderful. Valentine's Day happens. There's like, some slice of life day. They just wandering around, going on dates. All fun. We move over to a plant, Waden, whatever, and their schemes. There's some former Debauchery Tea Party members there. Because, the Debauchery Tea Party is people from all over. They were never their own guild. They just worked as an informal party. They partied up, beat difficult quests, gained a legendary name for themselves, and then, disbanded and did their own thing. So anyway, we learn from one of them that Konami, the leader of the Debauchery Tea Party, is on the Chinese server. So she's still around, and she was the leader, but only because she has, like, this crazy charisma. She's just, like, she's an insane person. She's just positive. She's like, let's do a thing. Ha, ha, ha. Boom, boom, boom. Let's go. Yay. Let's move forward. Boop, boop, boop. Anyway, she just drags everyone along with her. That's sort of her thing. Anyway, flash to that whole thing. we do a flashback. So the dude who's telling about how she's on the Chinese server, he like inhabited, he's able to like control animals or switch places with summons. Anyway, so he summons a horse and like runs across, I don't know, somehow he's in the Chinese server and he meets up with her as his horse. And he's like, oh, so, and they go on some adventures. So they're going around on the Chinese server being cool, solving some problems. They meet genius monsters. So there's these monsters that are like, they have their own intellect, their own will. And it's a whole thing that's a major point of concern. So anyway, we rejoin Toya and Minori, Isuzu and Rundle House, and they go out on a journey to get the materials to make cool bags that everyone else already has but are super important. So it's kind of like bags of holding or something. But in the game, it was like a simple quest that you could teleport to the places you needed to go and get the materials, like from Wyverns, I think, to make these bags. But they were so new when it all happened that they didn't have the bags yet. So they're like, okay, well, we're going to journey. We're going to go get the materials to make these cool bags. So lots of stuff happens on the journey. They go to different towns. They help people out. And then they eventually meet Roe 2. Anyway, so guess who that is? Nope, it's not. It's a female vampire player who saves them and then collapses from being in the sunlight too much. Looks a lot like Shiroe. Roe 2 is out to change her vampire subclass for obvious reasons. I mean, it's kind of pointless subclass to have if you're, you know, can't be out in the day. So anyway, some important plot stuff happens, but it's not real important in the main story. Nyanta has been kind of trailing the kids to make sure that they were okay, you know, staying in the shadows, doing his own thing. But he sees this train where the Plant Uaiden members are. They've released some bad things into the village, and they're causing havoc. So he starts attacking them, trying to get them to cut it out. Roe 2 gives the junior party a letter for Shiroe after it's all said and done. She's like, I'm going my own way, bippity-boppity. Here's a letter. Give that to Shiroe. So Shiroe reads the letter. We find out that Roe 2 is an artificial being created by an alien race sent to search other universes for a resource called Empathions. I know the story gets crazy wild right at the end. It's crazy. Anyway, the genius monsters are also looking for Empathions, but will take them by any means necessary. So they'll kill and they're up to no good, the geniuses, as it were. She says in her letter that her companions on the moon might be able to help them return to their own reality. So it's important to note that Roe 2 was like a backup character that Shiroe used on like the test server to test things and whatnot. And that's what you have vampire subclass. It was fun. He was having fun anyway. Because, you know, when you max your level, sometimes you want to go back and start over with a different character and then do it all again. I don't know. But anyway, this artificial being inhabited the unused character on the test server or something. So anyway, they eventually decide to try to contact the moon. There's like a broadcasting station in Shibuya. But while they're making the plans for that, these eternal moth monsters are like going around putting everyone to sleep, and their nest is a raid zone in Shibuya, so here we go, champ. You know, let's flash forward to they defeat the boss, and he's a genius monster, but they defeat him. And Regan helps set the radio equipment up. So there's radio equipment here, bippity-boppity, they get it all working, and surprise, surprise, it's Kaname on the other end. Ha 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 ha. She is a super insane person. It is wild. But anyway, so they make contact with Kaname on the Chinese server, and she's met up with Krusty, so he's still alive. That's good. And we'll get there. They exchange information. There's a victory party, and that's sort of where we end for season two. So we don't have a lot of resolution here. We got to a point where we could stop. So there's a lot going on in the anime, and there's a lot of world building and information gathering. So it's we're setting up governments, we're trying to make sure everybody's cool. You know, this is what happens when we're all in the game. We don't know how to get home. It's depressing. We miss our families. We miss our friends. Buppity, buppity, buppity. So it's a lot of psychological stuff, a lot of, like I said, world building. So anyway, the light novels. I bought them. I wanted to know what happened next. Unfortunately, I think volume 11 is the last volume that's out here in English, and also I believe it is the last volume that's out in Japan, so I don't think we're, you know, they're not very far ahead of us, and I don't know what the big holdup is. It's been a couple years. There's like web novel that's written, but I'm not reading web novel, okay? Just make the light novel and let me buy it. But anyway, in the last volume that's out, it's Krusty the Tycoon Lord, I think, or the Tycoon something or other. Anyway, he's basically just chilling in this place with these, like, I don't know, fairies or something. And he meets up with Kaname, who goes up there, and she drags him along back into her adventures. And he's like, his health still hasn't recovered. Like, he's cursed from this sword vaporization thing. And so he's in a bad way, but, like, you know, he's just chilling. Lazy. But yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, the next volume hopefully will give us some more information. And I mean, maybe someday I'll have time and care enough to go find the web novels. I don't know. I don't know that I will. But Log Horizon's great. And I really enjoyed it. I've watched it a few times. The English is not bad. And the Japanese obviously is good. Opening theme is hype, hype, hype. It's called, like, Database, but I mean, it's ultra hype. It hypes you up. Anyway, so that's it. See you next time. Probably going to tackle SAO finally. It's going to be rough. See you then. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Isekai Pod. I hope you enjoyed it. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Isekai Pod. Find us online at isekaipod.com and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. You'll hear from me again real soon, unless you get trapped in a parallel world. Sayonara.